Okay. Okay. People come, they come. Let's start. All right. We ended off last week, I think, with the Moch Dachuk. Talked about that. Talked about cases where the woman found out only afterwards. So now, okay, good. Back to the basics. Here we go. How many bidikas does a woman have to do during the Shiva Nikiyam? Up until now, you know what? Let me do something quick because David actually brought it up. We have a lot of different terms. I'm about to ask questions. Let's get some terms clear. Bidika is the name in general of, a woman checking. Okay. We have one specific term for the bidika that she does before she can start her Shiva Nikiyam. That's called a hefsek tahara. It is what it sounds like. It's the hefsek that says, okay, I'm now going to stop being tamei and start my path towards tahara. Okay? That's the bidika that she does right before she starts her Shiva Nikiyam. She's saying, my bleeding has stopped. It's clean. Tomorrow, which is tonight, right? I can start counting Shiva Nikiyam. Okay? That's called a hefsek tahara. It's just a regular bidika. But it's the most stringent one. It has to be the cleanest. In other words, if there are any leniencies that you can find in other vedikas, you can't find any on the Hefsek Tahara. It has to be clean because it's supposed to be a symbol that she stopped bleeding. That's called the Hefsek Tahara. Then you have the Moch Tachuk, which is the one that she inserts during the during Shkia for an extended period of time. That is not per se a vedika. It's a double check, right? We discussed whether it can function as a vedika. We'll discuss it again tonight. We discussed backwards. Now we're going to discuss forwards. And then you have regular bidikot. She does two. Well, this we're about to get into right now. How many times does a woman have to check herself during Shiva Nikiyam? Just throw out a number. She has 7 days, not counting the Hefsek Tahara, not counting the Moch Dachuk. She now has 7 days. How many times should she be counting? Should she be doing the bidikah? What's the most reasonable maximum number? What? Seven, that's all.
14, sorry.
14. Why 14? Thank you. Wow. Oh, yeah. 14. Why? Twice a day. Okay. What's the least she can do? That's the million-dollar question. What's the least amount of thank you, of bidikas that she can do? And still go to the mikvah. One? Two? Okay. Good. So that's a good question. That's an important question, right? It's a very, very important question. It's an important question for a lot of reasons. It's an important question with the avad, a woman forgot. I don't know, 13 times, let's say. Or if it's not a good idea for her to do more than one because maybe she'll cause a laceration or something. So she needs to know. Bottom line, how many do I have to do over the course of Shiva Nikiyam? All right, another question. Besides for the Hefsek Tahara, a woman only performed the bidika on day one and then on day eight. When would she go to the mikvah? Yeah, both of her bidikas were clean, but day one, then she skipped 7 whole days and then did another bidika on day eight. When can she go to the mikvah? A healthy woman. She can go right after she did the bidika on day eight.
If there was any blood, if there was any blood, it's seen on day eight.
Okay.
If there was blood, she'd have to wait a whole time.
Right, or the other option would be. Meaning, how many days? Another 7. So, which one is it? Okay. All right. What's the proper way to perform a bidika? Okay. So, this is going to get into something we have to talk about. I know nobody wants to, but we have to. What? Stakim. Okay. A little bit more, details. A little bit more, like, what does it mean? Right. Okay. So, we'll get into that. A true story. An Israeli couple were on a 3-month honeymoon in the Far East when the woman became a Nida. And they did not have any bidika cloths. Could happen. Can she use her husband's undershirt as a bidika cloth? What if the undershirt is made out of a synthetic material, not 100% cotton, let's say? It's made out of, I don't know, what's a non, what's a non, what's a synthetic? Polyester is a synthetic material, right? Does it? Does it have to be something that's makabel tumah?
Something that absorbs.
Has to be something that absorbs.
If I get the tampon is a
Well, as a moch, a tampon is fine.
It's not necessarily
As a moch,
technical.
it's fine.
We said it's like a
As a
technical.
bidika, it could be not. The question is why? Why is it not good? There, the answer was because it doesn't get into the chorim mustakim. But she's going to use her husband's undershirt. She can get into the chorim mustakim. It just happens to be made out of polyester. Does that matter? If it's made out of cotton, it's okay.
That's
clean. How clean it can be, but yeah, good point. Okay, good, good, good. Excellent, excellent. All right, may a woman who experiences mild pain when performing a bedikah wet the bedikah cloth beforehand, before putting it in? What would be the chashash? She doesn't want to put a dry bedikah cloth in because it might aggravate or, you know, lacerate her the inside. Can she wet the cloth, thereby making it softer? Or does that... What?
Is dry blood in?
Well, you would find the dry blood on the thingy, no? What could be the issue? She could dilute it. You might not be able to see the blood. It might change the color. What about a lubricant? Some kind of, let's say, Vaseline, something like that. Can she put Vaseline on the cloth?
Wonderful.
So maybe Vaseline is a bad idea, but maybe there are other lubricants that would be more viscous, I guess. Okay, question. What about on? Let's say we assume that she could wet the bedikah cloth. Can she do it on Shabbos? Can she wet the bedikah cloth on Shabbat? Right. Normally, you can't wet cloth on Shabbat because it's a form of libun. It's like cleaning the cloth. Can she do that to this cloth on Shabbat? For that matter, can she do a bedikah on Shabbat at all? After all, she's potentially doing tzoveya. She's coloring the cloth with blood.
They say no, because...
Why?
Because they say that she made another day of my foot on Friday, on Saturday evening, afternoon, she could do that.
Okay, so why is she allowed to? Why isn't it a problem of tzoveya? Okay, good. And then last one that is in Kuftat Ivav. Hopefully we'll get past this, but last one for now. A woman with a Nuva ring contraceptive. You heard of that? Nuva ring, can you explain it? Like, describe it.
It's a ring. It's a ring that secretes a hormone.
Right.
That's inserted into the vagina. And
it's made out of what? Like rubberish, right? Rubber, plastic, something like that. Okay, fine. And the idea is that it sounds very similar to an IUD, no?
Except that there's an IUD remembering all
goes deeper?
Uterus. Yeah, much deeper. This stays in the vagina for now.
Is it like disposable? Do you like take it out and in and replace it?
It stays for a long time. I think it's absorbent. It gets removed.
Okay. So is there an issue with doing bedikas with such an apparatus inside? Does that invalidate the bedikot that you do potentially? Why yes? Why no? Okay, so potentially it could stop you getting the chumash takim. Maybe even it could catch some blood underneath it that won't get out afterwards. Okay, good. All right, let's learn. Okay, let's learn. So, back to the beginning of Kuf, we're still in Kuf Tzad Yivav, and we're talking about bedikos. So if you open up the sheets on page number 58, very short, pasuk in Vayikra, what's this referring to? Shivanakim. This is counting 7 days. So here's the thing, okay? Elsewhere in the Torah, when we're told to count something, where else are we told to count something in the Torah? Sfira. And how does that perform when you have to count Sfira? You have to verbally count it, right? You need to do it every day. For 49 days, you out loud, make a bracha, you say it out loud. Does a woman need to count for Shivanakim out loud? It says Vasafra La. No? How do you know? You've never heard your wife counting out loud? Day one! And then at some point she said to you, oh, this is day one. Oh no, I said it! So take a look at the you have your Shulchan Aruch open.
Yeah, you forgot day one.
Well,
that's
a good question, no? If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Pitchei Tshuva Sivkat and Dalet, it's a small one. He just says, so it's like on the first page, Sivkat and Dalet, he just quotes, Hagaon HaKadosh Baal Shla. Okay, so the Shla HaKadosh, Rishaya Levi Horvitz, he says, Hitzrich Shubimei Sivrat HaNakim Timneh B'kol Yom V'tomar Hayom Yom Kedekhti V'Safrala. He says, yes, she must count the Shubimei. Okay, so But basically, the Noda Behuda and the Kotav, almost everybody disagrees and says, no, 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 not so far, not so fast. And for example, by the way, there is another thing that the Torah mentions that we have to count. The Shechter likes to talk about this a lot. I tried to find it in Eretz Tzvi before I came here, and I couldn't find it. Something else that needs to be counted. Shemitah, right? 7 years, and for that matter, Yovel. So here's the question. Who counts that? The Beit Din. Do they have to out loud every year get together and say, today, this is the first? No, so they don't. But there's a discussion about that. All these things are about counting. And the question is, why do you have to count here? Why do we not have to count out loud there? Shachter talks about it. I can't remember where it was.
But isn't the objective of counting in order to not lose track?
So yes, that's essentially the answer.
Something I would, yeah, like Muslim, right?
Yeah, that's essentially, no, essentially the answer is that the woman is not counting because she has a mitzvah to count each day. She's counting because she wants to get the 7 days. Whereas Sirat Omer is not like that. Sirat Omer is a mitzvah to count each day.
If you count down 7 feet, the pasuk is that it's mixed with the count.
Right. So the pshat is that the safra there doesn't mean count out loud. It simply means count that many days.
Record.
You don't have to record it at all. You just have to be aware of it. But the key is, you do have to be aware of it. In other words, the woman needs to be aware, okay, today is the first day. She needs to be aware of that.
And if she would lose track,
what do you think she needs to be aware of?
Vermont,
she needs to be aware. Today is the first day. She needs to consciously think, today is day one of my Shiva Nikita.
Let's not know the sense of power, but then she goes the second. I don't know. She just blows camp with this. What she actually physically did, she's sorry, but if her. Oh,
no, she needs to know what day it is.
Her action, she didn't believe in the proper time, but for whatever reason, the middle, she got mixed up.
Yeah.
That's by the end, she caught me, she offset.
So it's an issue if, let's say, by day 7, she doesn't know if it's day 7 or day 8. That's an issue. That may be solved by certain things, but it's an issue. It could be even that her, you know, if she just thinks that it's one day or the other, that could be fine. It could be different than Sfirat Omer in that way. I'm not sure. Okay, now, how many bedikot does she have to do? Okay, so this is going to get a little bit complicated. It's going to get complicated, but it's worth knowing, and we're going to try to make it as clear as possible. So we have two main sources, a Beit Yosef, and then the Gemara, and then we'll see how the Shulchan Aruch paskens and the Maisa. Okay, so the Beit Yosef is in source number 21. Source number 21 records machloket. The names are going to be pretty much the same in both machlokets. You have, on the one side, you have Ramban, Rashma, and the Rush. Okay, pretty heavy hitters. That's in the first part. He says, Kain katv, well, he quotes the Torah. The Torah says, you have to count. You have to do how many bedikas a day over the course of those 7 days? How many? One a day. Okay, so this position in the Torah says, you need one a day for 7 days. Count it up. That's 7 bedikas. Ken katva Ramban, Baharashba, Baharash, the Lakatila Mia Tsrichad Asot Kane, the Ken Katva God Maimoniot, Perakvav, Hashem Atosot, Medikatu Stam, Tiv Dok Bakalyon, Mashma, the Lakatila, Eina Tsrichad of Dok with every Pamachat Bayom. Says, according to these Rishonim, Rashba, Ramban, Tosot, the Rush, pretty heavy hitters, they say you only need one, Lakatila. But on the other side, he says, Majkat Rabbeinu Shabbat Sefer Mitzvot Katap Maim. Kenu basmag basmak sefer truma vaMordechai b'shem harokeach shabodeket pa'amayim kol yom mimei hasfira. She has to count. She has to do how many bedikas? Twice, which would add up to 14. Pa'am achad b'shacharit k'shomeret mimitata. Pa'am achad k'sholechad arvit. V'nirali shalamdu ken midatnan v'perkam denida pa'amayim tzichad pa'amim tzichad liyod bodeket shacharit v'benishmashot. Discussion about checking in Shacharit and in Beishma. It's not clear what the Gemara means over there, but this is how they interpret that Gemara. In other words, you have a Machloket Rishonim here, one side with lots of heavy hitters saying you only need to do it once a day, and the other side with also lots of heavy hitters saying you have to do it twice a day. Okay? So that is one aspect of it. Do you have to do it every single day? Do you have to do it every single day? I feel almost like we should have switched this around, but okay. What? Well, let's see. So the Mishnah Nida, source number 22. Hazav, Hazav, Shabbatku, Atzman, Biyom, Rishon. You have a three-way machlokas here. a zav or a zava that check themselves on the first day, umatzu tahor, ubayom ha-shvi'i mutzao tahor. She did a bdika on day 1 and day 7. This is aside from the hefsek tahara that she did before. This is on day 1 and day 7. V'shar yamim shebeintayim lo batku. She didn't check. Now, right off the bat, you can tell from the Mishnah that she really should have, right? That she didn't, but she probably should have. So what's the status? What do you think? What's the status? She only did a bdika on day 1 and on day 7. Can she go to the mikvah or not after doing that last bdika on day 7? So it's machlokes tanaim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Harian Bechaskatara, the most lenient position says, she's good, she's fine. Day 1, day 7, she's fine. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ein Lam Ela Yom Rishon V'Yom Shvi'i Bilvad. What does Rabbi Yoshua think? She's got 2 days, which means she needs another 5. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua says, you can count the 2 days even though they're separate, but they only count as 2. You need to count 7 days. You have to have 7 days of bedika, according to Rabbi Yeshua. And finally, we get to Rabbi Akiva, the most makmir. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Lam Ela Yom Shvi'i Bilvad. You only have day 7. Sorry. You need 7 consecutive days. You need 7 consecutive days. Rabbi Yehazar says you need 7 days of cleanness, and it's good enough to check on day 1 and day 7. And you can assume that the rest, and if they were clean, you can assume the rest of the days were clean as well. Right? That's how Rashi explains it. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, you need 7 total days. They can be at any time, but 7 total days. Rabbi Kiva says you need 7 consecutive days. How do we rule? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer seems like it's better than Rabbi Yeshua, but Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Mi Divrei Kulam. Rabbi Kiva seems to be the most logical. Nevertheless, Aval, Halakha, Rabbi Eliezer, the most makel position. You really only need day 1 and day 7. That's how the Gemara rules. Now, to make things a little bit more complicated, okay, the Beit Yosef, you don't have it on the sheets. Beit Yosef points out that when Rav over here, it's not over here, elsewhere, when Rav gets into it, Rav wonders and says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not really necessary for it to be day 1 and day 7. This is Rav the Amora. He says it doesn't have to be day 1 and day 7. It just happened to be the case over here. Rav says, really, all you really need is 1 day in the Shivan Akim. And it doesn't matter which day.
One day, one
B'dikam. That's what Rav's claim is. He claims that's what Rabbi Eliezer really thinks. Rabbi Hanina disagrees with Rav and says, no, it's Dafka. You need day 1 and day 7. Those are the important days. Those are the bookends. You need day 1 and day 7. So it's Macholget Amarayim, which is Rav and Rabbi Hanina. Day, Hefsek Tara starts. Hefsek Tara starts. Hefsek Tara starts.
How would you
measure the mark? It's a Mishnah, and he's saying that was the situation. Now, the situation was 1 and 7. Rabbi Eliezer is just paskening the situation, but he would go even further, according to Rabbi.
But before you read the Mishnah, what would you say?
Like Rabbi Hanina, I would have said day 1 and day 7. I wouldn't have said what Rabbi said. But Rabbi said it. Rabbi said his tradition is that Rabbi Eliezer is even more mako. And would say any one of the days. Again, let's do that again. Okay, Hefsek Tara is the bedika that you do before Shivan Akim. You can't even start Shivan Akim unless you do a Hefsek Tara. And then the moch is the chumra that you do in between. The next time is going to be a bedika in the morning. Okay, that bedika would just call it a bedika, even though they're essentially the same. But that's day 1. It's day 1. There will be 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening. Right. Because the Nida doesn't need Shivan Akim. She just counts 7 days and goes to the Mikvah. Our Nidas don't. Our Nidas are Zava.
Okay, so the Mishnah Zava is not our case of Nida that we're dealing with in today.
No, it is. I mean, the Mishnah Zava is our case because we treat all the women like Zava.
That
she has a discharge. She did discharge, so from the time that she stops having those discharges, she has to have
But the technical
It looks like blood. It looks like blood.
Yeah.
We're not experts anymore on what exactly it's supposed to be. There's going to be a difference between azava and nida, but we don't know what it is. That's why we treat them all like azava. Okay, so now this machloket between Rav and Rabbi Chanina that I just described to you within Shitat Rabbi Eliezer, how do we paskin? That's another machloket Bishonim with the same characters involved. Okay, you have the Rush, the Ramban, and the Rashba who paskin like Rav, Mekel. Once again, they're Mekel in both of these things. And the Smach, the Truma, the Mordechai say like Rabbi Chanina. Machmir again. Okay? Now, you don't have to keep track of all of that. Let's just get to the show. It's just good background. No, there were Mekel in both situations.
No, they're Machmir in the Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes, that's true. What I meant was the previous thing that we discussed about whether morning and night, it was the Rashba, the Ramban, and the Rush who are Mekel. And over here also, they're the ones who are Mekel in Rabbi Eliezer. That's what I meant. You don't have to keep all that in mind, but it's useful for when you hit the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch is Seif Dalet. Seif Dalet. Let's read it through. V'kol yom mishivat yei asvira tzricha liyot bodeket lechatchila ha'amayim v'kol yom chat shacharit v'chat samuch levein hashmashot. So you see that he's ruling lechatchila like the smak, the smag, like the machmirim. He's not accepting the Ramban lechatchila. Vim lo batka b'kol ha'shiva ela pam achat lo shna batka b'yom rishon shal ha'shiva o b'yom ha'shvi'i o b'echad me'amtzayim b'achar shabatka b'yom shekodem ha'shvi'i u'matzah tahora pam 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 alula. On the other hand, he says b'di'achad the most mekel position any b'dika at any time during the Shiva Nikiyim. At any time. You're going to have tzitara. You woke up in the morning, forgot. Next day, forgot. Next day, forgot. Next day, remembered. Said, okay, I'm going to do a bedikah now. Then next day, forgot. Next day, forgot. Then realized, oh, wait, tonight's mitzvah night. Go. Alula. It works for her. What? Rav.
Rav.
Right. However, he says, don't take it too far. Aval, im lo batka b'kol ha'sheva, u'b'yom ha'shmini batka u'matzah Torah. That's if she did hefsek tara, then skipped 7 days, and then did a bedikah. So David, you would have said, no, what's the problem? She must have been clean the whole time. No, matzah Torah, ein la ela yom chet bilvad, u'mishalemet aleha. She has to count another 7 days.
Wow. So he has to do it at least once in the 7 days.
Exactly. At least once in those 7 days, because she's counting Shiva Nikiyim. She has to do a bedika. She has to be counting. She has to make sure she was clean during those Shiva Nikiyim. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Sure.
Why not? Because then you can park the underwear on your feet and you know if there was a need.
Yeah, but that's all extra stuff. That was all extra stuff.
Why did he care?
Yeah. 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 But, V.S. Omrim, Shetzarich Shetivdok B'yom Rishon Me'ashiva, U'B'yom Ashvi'i, Ve'in Lahakya. He says, but, that's Rav. But, he says, the proper thing is like Rabbi Eliezer. We're not going to go to Rabbi Akiva. But the proper thing is Rabbi Eliezer. You need 1 and 7. Bidi Evin. He says, Ein Lahakel. In other words, what he's saying is, Lichat Chila, you'll do 2 bidikas a day. Bidi Evin. First Bidi Evin for a healthy, normal woman who is not, it's not like it's going to, she's not going to get a divorce if she's not going to the mikvah. Wow. She needs to do at least once in seven.
One and seven.
For a normal woman. For a normal woman in a normal situation, ain lahakel. Ain lahakel. Do 1 and 7.
No, that's a yeshua.
Correct.
Yeah, but that's.
But then he says, ain lahakel. Ve ain lahakel. He did. But then he ended. But he said yeshua, and then he said, ain lahakel. Don't be makel for the once in the week thing. Yeah. Don't be mekel for that. Ein lahakel, do 1 and 7. Okay?
He brings it as a legitimate figure, obviously.
Yes. So it'll be useful for us. Right? It'll be useful for us. So, but now you have it back in the background. You need to understand that Shulchan Aruch, all the different positions that are going into the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, practical applications. Number one, what the Shulchan Aruch already mentioned. Let's say you did day one. Okay, you did have Sektara, did day one, and then you forgot and you did day eight.
It's not bad.
Ain't lakel. Ain't lakel. You got to start again. Ain't lakel. Yeah, but ain't lakel. Ain't lakel. In a regular situation, normal woman. Normal woman, she messed up.
What position do you owe you to lakel?
Good.
So what would she do then, Rebbe?
What? Okay, so good. So I'll give you, we'll get into a few situations where you can be makel. I'm saying a normal woman in a normal situation, she's trying to, she calls, this happens, she calls up the rabbi frantically, says, today is day seven, and I realized I didn't do a bdika today. The rabbi's going to ask a series of questions in order to determine whether or not he should be makel for that first position or not. But lechatchila, meaning at this point, she hasn't gone to the mikveh yet, ain't lahakel. It's negative. Because that was the other position. There were two different positions. That's the first position. This is the Yesh Omrim. And his Ein Lakel is yeah, no, because it's part of the statement. He's saying this is the halakha. There are those that say this is the halakha, and we should not be makel for that first position. And he's not saying Ein Lakel, and the second position says don't be makel for the first position. That doesn't make any sense.
So what would she do? How would she make that problem?
She'd have to, day eight is day one.
So if she counts at day two, day eight, she's okay.
No.
If she thought to herself on day two, the day is day one, yes.
If she knew it was day two,
but if she can't, she wants to count it. I'm being serious, by the way. Women are told this. In certain situations, think to yourself, this is, I think they're allowed to make like a tonight. They're allowed to think to themselves, okay, it's either this or it's that, like depending on the outcome of a bidika that I get. So, because think about it for a second, all right? A woman gets a bad bidika, or gets a suffix bidika in the middle, right? On day three. She sends it to the rabbi. She knows she's not getting an answer back for 2 days, whatever. Okay? She does a bidika the next day. It's clean. Now, that bidika is either a hefsik tara,
or
day one. Okay, so now she has to keep it in her mind. I don't know which one it is. I'm pretty sure, maybe we'll get to it, I'm pretty sure she can have in mind both, but she needs to keep that in mind. If she thinks, no, I'm just continuing as a bidika, then you have an issue, right? Because it's wrong.
She forgets the next day, but then on day two, she's like, I have to call it today, day one.
Yeah, right. She could do that.
No, but if it's something,
right. So then it's a good thing she had in mind.
So then she
that this is five, also, she can double count. Yeah. So that we covered. Now, here we go. That's forgot on day one. Let's say she forgot on day one. Okay. Let's forget about trying to make it up on the next day. Just a nice kula over here in source number 23. What happens if she did a hefsek tara, she did a moch, then she woke up in the morning and she forgot, and then she missed it in the afternoon. What can she possibly rely on in order to be able to still count day one as day one? Not the hefsek tara. Why not the hefsek tara? Hefsek tara was yesterday.
The moch's working tonight.
Why is it tonight? So it depends, right? It depends. So the chukas tara says, "Isha shasta hefsek tara umoch tachuk, v'shira tamoch b'fnim ad achar tzeita kochavim, v'shuv shachecha lasot b'dika ad yom shvi'i, yesh la tira litbol b'kai gavne, v'shuv shefshar lachshiv b'dika tamoch tachuk b'dika yom rishona." She could have forgotten for 6 days. Then she does a b'dika on day seven, and she calls the rabbi and says, "I didn't do a b'dika on day one." The rabbi says, "Well, did you leave the moch in until after tzeita kochavim?" Now, there's a big kula. Because what are we saying now? We're saying that the moch will operate as a bedika. Which, remember we discussed this about it being able to be a hafsek tara? No, we debated it. I think we said that, I forget, who's the one who said that it could work as a... Right, because it moves around, right? Or Moshe, I think. Because it moves around a lot, It does act as a bedika. There was someone who disagreed, but I think Ramosha said it does act as a bedika. So here, this is even more makel, because a bedika is more makel than a hefsek tara. It's got lower standards than a hefsek tara. So he says, if it's there after tzeit kochavim, that means it's in for the next day. It can count. It's a big kula. Okay? All right, another situation. Let's say a woman cannot get too clean bedikot. She's very sensitive. Anytime she tries to do a bedika, there's always a risk that she's just going to cause a peta. And that's going to bleed. So she doesn't want to do 14. She doesn't want to do 7. She doesn't even want to do 2. She wants to do a hefsek tara, moch, maybe even either the moch, goes to hefsek tara. And then let's say on day 3, after it's, you know, calmed down, she wants to do another bedika.
And then 7.
Because the risk is that if she doesn't do it that way, she may never get clean. Right? So this would be, this is shatat chak.
You're saying she does 3 and 7, that's all she does.
She does 3.
Oh, that's it.
3. This is a Sefer Chochmat Adam, source number 24. Ubamakom chashash igun. It's interesting that he says igun. I mean, Chochmat Adam must be written in the 18th century, I think. I thought that was already before, like, the modern day igun. I'm not sure what the igun is going to happen over here. I think it just means that they're going to get a divorce. Sheina isha yechola l'taher atzma, yesh l'smoch ha'gdolei ha'poskim d'sfirlu d'afilu l'obadka atzma toch shiva rak b'yom echad mikol ha'sheva b'eizo yom sheyiye chutz mi'bedikot hefzik ta'ara alala me'achar shebadka b'yom shekodem ha'sheva. He even uses the same language, alala. In other words, yes, b'shat ha'tchak, a woman cannot do any more bedikas because she knows if she continues to do bedikas, she's going to get blood that has nothing to do with nida or hormones or anything like that. We allow her to do one bedika. Okay, that's case number one. She had the hefsek tara and she had the moch. She may not even have the moch. She probably had just the hefsek tara. Did he mention the moch here? No. Correct. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. That was the first shita of the Shulchan Aruch. Only one. That's Rav. That's Rav. Rav. That's Rav. Yeah, that's Rav. Okay. So that's the most makel. Here's another one. It's not in the notes, but I just noticed it on the side. If you look in the Pisgei Tshuva, this is actually really important. I think this is really important. I'm surprised he didn't put it in the notes. In the Pisgei Tshuva, Sifkatan Zayin, Ayin B'Shuvat Chatam Sofer, Seven Kufayin Chet, Shekata D'Vidiyavad, Shekvay Lanta Eitzel Ba'ala, Yeish L'Hakel. Ach Kol Zeh B'Vadka B'Vaday Be'echad O B'Sheva. Chumra and Akula. The Chatam Sofer says, if they've already slept together, you don't have to tell her to go to the mikvah. Now, we'll get into why it's not a good idea to tell a woman to go to the mikvah when she's already slept with her husband. We'll get into why in a few minutes. But he's saying that would be a case of bidiyavad, but he's only willing to be makel bidiyavad if she did it specifically on day 1 or day 7. Hold on. Interesting.
What happened?
She did a bedika, let's say, she did a bedika on day 1, and then went to the mikvah on day 7 without any other bedikas. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein lahatka," right? And she's a perfectly healthy woman. She should not have gone to the mikvah, but she did.
She did,
and she slept with her husband. Now she asks the rabbi, "I feel bad. I realize that I didn't do a bedika on day 7. Do I have to start again? Do I have to now go to the mikvah in 7 days? Chatam Sofer says, as long as she did it on day 1 or day 7, no. You don't have to.
But that
if she did on day 1 or day 7, he's saying if she did on day 4, he'd be machmir. He'd say, yes, you have to do it again.
Wow.
Which is a new sheet.
But if you did it on day 1
or 7. So he said.
Sure, don't they check before the woman goes into the mikvah? They check right then.
Not a bedika. They don't do a bedika. No.
No,
they check for chatzitzas. They check that the woman doesn't have anything on her body like that's obviously a chatzitza.
Why does it say 1 or 7, 1, 2 or 3?
He doesn't want 2 or 3. I think I didn't look into the tshuva, but I think he must think that that's what Rav meant. And when Rav said you only need 1 day, he meant you need either day 1 or day 7. What would be the rationale? Either the beginning or the end. I don't know. So that's another situation. Similar to the Chachmas Adam that we saw in source number 25, the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Bizmaneinu yesh arben hashim shemukot velokot bechadrei bitnan b'makot u'psaim toch harechem b'ofen shabdika kashtal lehen mod." There are many women nowadays, he says, who have Tayim, they have they're sensitive in that area. It's pretty much the same as the Chachmat Adam. And therefore it's very hard for them to do many bdikot. And so he says, we tell them, ki ikar adin shiela bdikat torah b'yom hefsek tarata, b'dika achat b'kol asher b'yamim, b'chein morin halacha l'maisa. And he says he feels comfortable giving that as a psak halacha l'maisa for women who say that they're very sensitive and that they can't do more than one bdika during the whole day. It's pretty much the Chachmat Adam. I'm not even sure why it's a separate thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also, just a general thing, he says in source number 26, Isha sheshachacha v'lo badka be'achad migimel pa'amim, hefsek tara, yom rishon, yom shvi, taseh shel chacham. He simply says, look, you know, there's room here. He doesn't rule on any specific case. He just says, just there's room over here. If she missed any one of these bedikas, just go to a rabbi and they'll help you out. Sometimes they can help you out. You know, if a perfectly healthy woman who has already had children, okay, calls up and says, I forgot to do bedikah today, I'm supposed to go to the mikvah. I just call from the mikvah. I forgot to do bedikah today and I only did it on day one. Can I go to the mikvah now? And the answer might have to be no. If you haven't gone to the mikvah yet, the answer might have to be no. You try to find a way around, but it's very difficult.
But wouldn't you say to her, why don't you check now?
Before it's too late.
No,
that would be day eight. Yeah. That would be day eight. There's opinions, but because Shulchan Aruch says in the Hakel, it means that that's the case he's talking about. That is the case. If there's some reason why it would be cause marital problems, physical problems, inability, fertility problems, then those would be, you know, it's Tadim La Hakel.
Usually, the mindset that most of that situation.
I've heard from people that I know and people that I trust that it's not so simple to be makel in that situation. Again, it's circumstantial.
I can't find a pool maybe because someone else. You might
get that sometimes. Yeah.
So in general, a rock can't look at the market, but
no. No, but if you ask them, then right. They have to answer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now we get into the actual process of doing the bedika. Okay. So we saw already in the Ramah, you don't have to look at it, we saw already in the Ramah that he says, Mina kasheru, this is Sif Gimel, Mina kasheru ksha isha posekna bitara shatir chatz v'loveshet levanim. So he says, she puts on white clothes, but also it says she should wash. She should wash. She should wash that area, obviously. That's what she's doing. So the Aruch HaShulchan on that, in source number 27, just says, he says, B'yom shepaskam yilerot u'bodeka datzma kama shekat, Moshkatuv tirchatz gufa yafe, du'lai nishar eiza ketem begufa. V'achar kach titkalkel bo v'kshetim se'enim. He says, when the Ramah says she should wash, that's not like a chumra, like, oh, she has to wash in order for it to count. He's saying it's a suggestion she should wash because there very well could be dried blood or even, you know, some congealed blood over there that she's going to end up finding with a bedika, which she could have easily fixed by just washing herself beforehand. So it's a suggestion. If she doesn't do it, then fine. If she can't wash, then just do the bedikah without washing. It's not like it's ma'akev, but there's just a chance that you're going to find old blood there if you don't wash. How do they do this? So let's skip to Sif Vav. Sif Vav. Shulchan Aruch says, kol bedikot, elu ben bedikat hefsek tara, ben bedikat kol hashiva, all the bedikas, Trichot deyot bebeged pishtan lavan yashan. That's white, not new, but white used flax. Oh, betzemer gefen, that's cotton. Oh, betzemer lavan naki, verach, some kind of soft, absorbent material. So that's in terms of the material. He just mentions natural materials. It has to be inserted deeply into the creases and the folds. And how that's actually broadly. And then how deep? Ad makom shehashemesh shemash dash v'tireh im yesh bo shum areh admud v'loch tachnisenu ma'at l'kaneach v'atzma. It should go in at least as far as the male organ would go in. That's just a depth. It's not a subjective depth. It's an objective depth. That's just the amount, as much as you can. And it's not good enough to just put in a tiny bit. You're not wiping from going to the bathroom. It's you have to insert it far enough that you would find something in the canal. If it's hard for her physically or even psychologically to put it in very deeply, at the very least, the two most important bedikas are the hefsek tara and bedikat yom rishon. Those she should try to do, and the other ones, if she can't go so deep, then she should not go so deep. Fine. And the Ramah mentions that if she doesn't do it on Yom Rishon, she should do it on one of the other days. But the Evet, he says, Im lo asta ken klal, rak shebat katz, ma yafe b'chorin mistakin. She didn't go so deep, but she checked very, very well on the sides. Ba'ome ketev, kfi kokai, as much as she can. Af mishol yigil ha-makom she'ashem shdash, sagila. She goes in as far as she can. What can you ask for more than that? She goes in as far as she can. Okay, so some points about this. What's the technique? All right, so we have the Bera Moshe. Bera Moshe, Moshe Stern, has a little bit of the technique that he says that the husband should talk to the wives about this. I don't recommend it, but okay. Source number 28. That's how deep it has to be. She doesn't just use one finger to just twirl around one time. You have to put pressure in order to flatten out the folds. Okay? In other words, it's not going to just wipe around. You have to flatten out the folds so that you get inside the creases. That's what that is. Every husband should tell this to his wife. Again, don't recommend it. I think Kala classes cover this well enough. He says, I've heard this. You have to put some pressure. It's not good enough to just sweep. But don't push too hard. Because you don't want to create a laceration and cause blood to come. You don't have to spin a lot of times. Everybody should know about this. Because of this, this is why the hefsek tara should not be done with a tampon, with a tampon. It doesn't get into the crevices because it's too smooth. It won't get everywhere. Okay, so now he gives a little bit more advice. All right, technique. The best thing to do is to put a foot up on the chair. Okay, Tom Shemshat Abdikat Tamor Ragla Achat Al Safsal, Bechadome, Ragla Achat Al Haaret, Vizet Akilatzla, Shetuchal Achnis Adam Eid Abdikat, Blidok Kahogen. This is a recommended practice. Ravadi mentions it as well. Just a woman will want to know, how am I supposed to do this? That's the best way to do it. Do you have to do it that way? No, you could do it in bed, you could do it lying down, you could do it sitting, you can do it however you want. But that's just simply the best way to do it, according to reports. According to reports, that's the best way to do it. So he mentions that as a suggestion. I guess historical. I mean, I guess just in Brooklyn, people didn't know what they were doing and nobody was talking about it.
Was that the first mention of the
Salam al-Dinah? No, Ravadia is a little bit after. I don't know. Ravadia is contemporary. He also has these kinds of. But no, yeah, you won't find that in the Rishonim. You don't find that in the Rishonim. I didn't get into it. I wonder why. Women. No, well, he says this is what Harun Mustakin means. Maybe the women just knew. This is to me, if you've ever read Rupture and Reconstruction, have you ever heard of that? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's only son, who never got married, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik wrote a very well-known, in America at least, essay called Rupture and Reconstruction. It's not easy to read. It's about 50 pages long essay. Lots of footnotes. But essentially, if I could synopsize in just a minute, it would say that the idea was that that you'll notice that over time, halacha has transformed from being a discipline that you learned in the home from family, from parents, from culture, from watching your Rebbe, from friends, to something that you learn from books. So to ask, why did no book ever describe how to do Bdikat Chorin Dakin, you're assuming that that was the kind of thing that you would learn from a book, and it's not.
The Rambam lived in Poland when it was cold and whatever.
So, no, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know. But no, my point over here is that these things were transmitted orally. They were transmitted, you know, in a way that was, he calls it mimetic tradition, which is that it's just by osmosis everybody learned. So, for example, nowadays, right, you want to know how to clean your Pesach kitchen, you open up a book. You can't, it's very difficult to figure out what you're supposed to do because it's very hard to describe these kinds of things, right? Whereas if you grew up in a home where every year they clean the Pesach, just paid attention, right? Just paid attention. You would just do exactly what your father or your mother did. But nowadays, yeshiva boys go off to yeshiva and they open the books and they try to figure everything out and they don't pay attention to what their parents are doing. They come home and they tell their parents what they should do, right? They're just the way things are, which is why I think that the next iteration would be YouTube videos, where you combine both, where basically you have this for posterity. There's actually, the CRC has, if you're preparing for Pesach, the CRC has this guy, I watch it every year, this guy cleaning his entire kitchen, Rabbi Mashkiach, who cleans his entire kitchen, he does in front of you, shows you how to boil the kettle, boil the pot, he shows you how to pour it into the sink, he shows you everything. I just watch it and I copy exactly what he did. I don't read the Hilchos Pesach book for that anymore. I do exactly what he did. Nothing better. So in that sense, it reminds me of that. It's kedai to read the essay also.
Where's the soda coming from? How much do you know from the soda coming from? And it's also a reflection of where you grow up.
It's very much about Masada.
You grow up in New York. 100%.
So, 100%.
So wouldn't it be something awesome? Something serious like this, would it be...
I suspect that they did have their ways of doing it, and this might have been one of the ways. But apparently, when they got to Brooklyn, his ways were forgotten. I don't know. It sounds like, I don't know what would have led him to say, oh, the women don't know what they're doing. I don't know how he would know that. I mean, I guess he had some experiences with men. I don't know how he would know. I really don't know. Yeah.
The women, I'm saying, realistically, know better.
The wives should be talking to each other, if anything.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
I think your YouTube, your creation of YouTube.
That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. So we had the question of the Shulchan Aruch says you should use Tzemer Geffen, Pishtan, etc. What if you're in a situation where you don't have that available? By the way, nowadays, women don't use anything like, I mean, they don't use T-shirts or anything like that. They use store-bought cloths. You go to the store and you buy these Bedika cloths. Very, very simple. Great. It's awesome. What if you don't have them? What? Let's traveling in Europe for 3 months. You don't have a bedikah cloth. So then what do you do? So the Mari Kohen, source number 29. What's he talking about here? Cotton balls. Cotton balls. He says, you might think, okay, great, cotton balls. Not a good idea. Why is it not a good idea? No, that's not why. Because they get stuck. Says, oh, but if I'm not throat me, man, you're gonna end up with cotton inside. It's not a good idea. It's also not clean. not necessarily clean. Now the cotton balls aren't cleaned out; they're not made kosher for bedikas. There's no problem with it. And if you do, you check it afterwards and you see that there's no blood on there, and it's for sure going to be good. But better to use something that will be absorbent and yet not leave shariot in the body. So a t-shirt would be good. Toilet paper is not going to be good idea because it's going to also leave shariot in the body, right? And also it's probably, they tend to be very dirty, toilet paper. Toilet paper is often recycled. Yeah. But also this other problem. Bad synthetic. Now why? Why do you think that is? Why is not a good idea? Okay, so good. Which in two senses. Number one, it doesn't necessarily absorb the blood. It might just slow off or it might change the color. It might change the color of the blood, the way that it gets absorbed into the material. So that's why you shouldn't be using a synthetic material. But in principle, if you had a synthetic material which was functionally the same as cotton, there would be nothing wrong with it. It would be fine to use it. All right. What happens if the woman, going back to the situations before, a woman has irritation, she's worried that it's going to, that she's always going to get a bad bedikah because it's going to cause some kind of laceration. Source number 30, Mara Cohen again. Isha, shekasha la livdok machmat shel makom yavesh, yesh ha'ur la'akeh lehartiv me'at et aid habdika b'mayim. To wet the bdika cloth a little bit with water. V'davka me'at mayim, only a little bit of water. V'ofen she'im yesh tifat dam, tir'eh agabe ha'ed. It has to be just a tiny bit, just to make it soft.
So don't wash it away.
Exactly, so that you don't end up just washing away the blood. V'yesh ha'ur she'afshar la'akeh laniach me'at mod bazelin agabe ha'ed. Could even use Vaseline. He says, but better than putting it on that aid would be to put it on herself. An hour or two before the bidika to soften the area, to make it less irritated, and then it would be better. So that it will be softer, but it won't be wet. Right, because what Mike was talking about before, if it's just Vaseline, when it's first applied, actually acts as a barrier. So it needs to be able to absorb or at least be pulled off at some point. Now, Ravavanya, by the way, also allows water. So just across the board, allowing a little bit of water is fine. Now we get a little bit of the Shabbos. Okay, a little bit, a touch on Shabbos. So the Oel Sarah, which I just found out, is Rabbi Yoshua Neubert, author of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. He wrote a Sefer Anida. Oel Sarah. Isha shirigala la'asod b'dikot tara be'ed batu, mutar la la'asod ken gam b'shabbat b'yom tov. You can do it on Shabbos in Yom Tov. V'af mutar la'atiz mat mayim ala eid m'shen kach. And she can even put the water on the eid. Right? Not even just putting water on herself and then putting the b'dikah, but the other way around. You sprinkle some water on there. Why is this okay? After all, she's pouring water onto a cloth. So, answer number one, in the footnote, by the way, sorry, the little yod on the bottom. Why? Because in this situation, are you trying to clean the beged? No, how do I know I'm not trying to clean the beged? This is clean. It's already clean. What are you doing when you do it? You're making it dirty. You're making it not clean. So he says, Derech Lichluch is going to be fine. That's why it's okay. I would have thought another reason, I guess it depends on the beged, is that if it's a beged which is disposable, which it is in this situation, then that's another reason why it could be okay. If you have a disposable, for example, disposable rags, a disposable... a napkin for sure, but let's say those smart too, right? But not a shmata that you're going to reuse, but the ones that you buy in the store that are disposable, right? Yeah, but then she'll throw it out after that. But then she'll throw it out after that. It's not something that she's going to keep. Then she's never going to wash it and reuse it. So that's why it's not a problem. And he also says, "Im lo yichina chatikat bad tzitzor chabtika." Asur la lachtoch bad b'shabbat. This is the old, bathroom question. If you get into the bathroom and there's no and there's no toilet, there's no tissues. What do you do? So what do you do?
Cover
the bris, right? We learned this. Cover the bris is only abundant anyways. So it's only, well, you could ask people to buy it. Also, you could cut. You could cut on, not supposed to cut on the lines because of cover the bris. So he says, here he says, you don't need to do that. Just use a beged. Just use the end of the beged. You don't have to rip a piece off. Just use the whole beged. What's the problem? Okay. That's one thing. Now, what about the Vaseline, though? What about putting Vaseline on the beged or onto the body on Shabbos? What's the issue with that? Mimarech. That's smearing, right? You're not allowed to put Vaseline on your lips on Shabbos. That's called Mimarech. So in source number 32, then it's worse. Then it's worse. I'm supposed to do medicine on Shabbos. What? This is not a Shabbos shiur. It's hard to be makel. They make other products that are more viscous that you could be more makel with. Meaning the more liquid it is, the better it is. Vaseline is very not liquidy. You could probably find somebody to be makel. You need, but I wouldn't do it. Source number 32 of the Bar Moshe, he says, he probably would tell you you could do it, as we're going to see. He says, what you should do is, you should put in some Vaseline from a tube. She's not trying to do it for a refuah purpose. So that solves the refuah problem, which is an issue of the Rabbanan. And she's not doing the Mareach. Why? Because she's just applying it. She's not smearing it. That's his claim. He doesn't think that there's memarech with it. At least midaraita. He says, echmarti b'sifri. He says, I was machmir b'open shebaboker adayin hamakom anal lak. If you put it in a living room. He's got a tube. Yeah, I don't know if it's actually Vaseline or not. Maybe it could be a lubricant, which would be more makel. Maybe that's why he says that you could be more makel. But he's saying that on Shabbat you could be makel because if you do it in a way that's not memarech, many are machmir though. Marakon is machmir.
Yeah, it's not
I don't know. You just place it without. Yeah, I don't know. I hear you. Then, what about the coloring thing? Surprised you guys didn't get it. There's an easy answer for this. Why is it not so bad? An easy answer for this. You're going to kick yourselves. Okay, source number 33, the Chud HaShani. This is Rav Nissim Karelitz. Mutar lidok ve'ed b'shabbat v'yom tov. Just in general, you're allowed to do b'dik on Shabbos v'yom tov. Ve'en l'chush mishum tzoveh. Don't worry about it. Av shabodeket b'zman shalua alim tzodam. You go to hefzik tari, even though you might get dam. Why? Because you don't want it. Mishum da'acha v'tzalir ochi nikiya. First of all, his answer might be different if you were in the if she was in the throes of her... of her period. Maybe then the answer would be different. But the point of a hefsek tara or a bedika is that you're pretty sure, or at least there's a reasonable chance that it's going to come out clean. And you don't want it to have any blood. What's that called? If there is soveh, what's that called? Davar sheno mitkaven. And it's not a secretion. Davar sheno mitkaven. You're doing something. You don't want it to happen. That's the point. It's totally... You're trying to do something, you don't expect it to have that outcome, and you don't even want it to happen. It's not a secretion. It's a secretion that may be different. There's a chance. So what? Davar sheino mitkaven means that you're doing something that will not always have the directed
outcome. Let's say she's just not married. So she has no clue what her tendencies are.
She knows that her flow is stopped.
Deba.
Women don't check it, her flow is stopped.
For her person,
It's not our first period.
I understand that, but I should have done
it. I think your women pay attention this morning. Yeah. Before they get married more than you think they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, my career, do an X, but yeah, you don't want the outcome. No. But that's just the
You're ambivalent. You're ambivalent to the outcome. And you don't think it's going to happen. And you don't know it's going to happen.
But you do it exactly because of the chance it will happen. How do you do it? You do it because it's a test. It's the same way as you do a corona test. You bring it together. You don't want to get
No, that. Because the corona test, you always have some, there's always going to be some sort of air going on. There's a little trick.
I'm not saying it. I think it's, you do want the results.
You want the result, but you don't want the tzoveya. You can't say that this woman is trying to be tzoveya her beged. That's not true. She's not trying to be the tzoveya her beged. She's definitely not.
Let's say it's a principal color just for mother. You use the color.
Yeah, but she doesn't want that either. She doesn't want that. She's not trying to color the beged. She wants clear. If she wanted it, then it wouldn't be a Davar Sheni Mitkaven because she wanted it. Okay. If she doesn't want it, and it's two things. She doesn't want it, and it's reasonably likely that there will be no blood. You need both those things. If you're missing any of those things, if you're missing the first thing that she actually does want it, then it's not a Davar Sheni Mitkaven. If you're missing the second thing that it's going to happen anyways, then it's a secretion. So when you have both of those, then you're good. Okay? All right. Now here is a different issue. Okay? Additional bedikos. So take a look quickly at Seif Tet in the Shulchan Aruch. Just do a quick thing. Ha'isha shemarba livdok ben b'meisrata ben b'yamim shalorata behem ha'reizom shubachat afa b'sheyesh la'beset kabur. Woman wants to do more than the two. Wants to do 4 a day. Mishubachat, that's great. That's a good thing. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Comes along with Moshe. A few hundred years later, it says, not anymore. It says, not a good thing anymore, because the only reason to do extra bedikas is if you're sure that you know what the blood is supposed to look like. And he says, but nowadays, we're not as expert as we used to be, and so there's no point in doing extra bedikas, you're just going to get in trouble. So our Moshe says, and this is what every chassan teacher and kala teacher teaches, don't do any more than you actually have to.
In the
Shiva Nikiyim, l'chatchila you do 14 bedikas, and then that's it. Don't do more. What? I'm sure you can find people that will just read the Shulchan Aruch and say, let's do that. But I think mainstream opinion is like a Moshe.
What's the end of the Shulchan Aruch?
That's because you're certain that...
that she's not going to have a
bleed. You're certain that, that I get my period the exact same time every month for the exact length of time. So that kind of woman might have said, you know what, I can be mekel on the bedikas because I know exactly what's going on. So he says, even that person, more bedikas the better. Not recommended. Okay, here we have in source number 34, you have a little bit of a tragic situation, all right, what you don't want to see. Source number 34, Masorah. I don't know why it says Mishnah. It's Masorah Moshe. It's a typo. This is the oral stuff from Rav Moshe. Sha'al Rav Elimelech Lot Odot Isha She'achar She'tavla B'Shimsha Im Ba'ala. A woman went to the mikvah and slept with her husband. Vata She'enicha Kol She'menekim B'Gufa Moch Dachuk Anasa Mitzemer Gefen. What happened to this woman? Poor woman. She did what she was supposed to do. She did a bedika. She did a hefsek tara. She did a moch. And she forgot to take it out after tzeit. Okay? Then she managed to get through the Shiva Nikiyim doing bedikas, and the whole time not realizing that the moch was still in there. She didn't feel it. And
she went to the mikvah with it?
And then she went to the mikvah with it.
That's not a...
She went to the mikvah with it. She wasn't. That's not one of the things that you check for a chatzitza.
Yeah, but it is not considered
a chatzitza. I mean, so here. So he says... Hotziota umatzu shemaleidam veheshiva benudei mitzar chatzitza betfila ulai meachar shezetzem agefen eno chotzitz. Says from a chatzitza I can be mekel because the water will get through it. Okay, so that I can be mekel. Aval hinei meachar shehaytasha zemakev etzem ahefsek tara etzem abdikot. But it prevents the bdikas from counting. Why? Because the moch is catching all the potential blood. Who knows? She could have been bleeding the whole time and the moat caught it all. Yeah, and there was blood. It was spilled with blood. Yeah, when she finally did take it out, she found that it was full of blood, which is unsurprising. I mean, no, it's not unsurprising. It just means that the Hafsikara wouldn't have counted. It means that for sure over the course over there. But the point is that none of the Vedikas counted. So what do you do? It says, she really has to start again, even though, yeah, there's going to be tshuva for this, yeah. Not only does she have to count the new shevinikim, she needs 5 days. She's up with her husband, she needs 5 days, and then she has to count shevinikim. Tragic situation. Maybe. So it's a very bad situation. Now, why is this relevant for us? So this thing with the new bereavement. Okay, so we don't have sources on this, but the Chukah Tatara says that the nuva ring that we talked about before, this ring that's inserted, should be removed before bedikas. Why? Because there's a chance that it will catch the blood. Now, I've seen pictures of it. It's very thin. Yeah, I've seen pictures before also. It's very thin. It's called the nuva ring. Yeah, it's like a pliable ring that emits hormones, emits certain chemicals, estrogen. And so he says it should be removed because if not, then it could catch things. But he says if she didn't remove it, then she should... he says if she didn't remove it, she should restart. In other words, even on the sixth day, she realized she didn't remove it, she should restart. But, remember the Chatam Sofer. What if it's this situation? She went to the mikvah and then discovered, wait, the nuva ring was in there the whole time. He says, in that situation, she doesn't have to start again. She can continue. And why? Because this is what we call, it could lead to people talking about how she, she might have been a nida when she slept with her husband. Then what does that say about her kids? It leads to lashon hara issues and reputational issues. And that is important enough that we're not going to make her go to the mikvah again because probably everything was fine anyway. She got to have siktara. This is the chukat tatara. That's what he says. Rav Avadya also says that she should remove it, but he says even the chatchila, if it causes pain, she doesn't need to remove it. In other words, if it's painful to take it out and put it back in, then he says even the chatchila you can leave it in. That's Rav Avadya. I guess we don't, in terms of it stopping blood, I don't think we're concerned with that. You could remove it, but do you have to? You could what?
Accidentally.
Oh. Does that happen? I don't know. Okay. That's it for Kufta Divav. We did all the questions that we mentioned. Let's keep going. We're on to Kufta Zayin. Good question. Is there a mitzvah to go to the mikvah right after the Shevinikim? Anytime a rabbi asks this question, the same. One thing for sure happens. Not this question. They ask the congregation, what mitzvah? There are two mitzvahs that you do with your whole body. What always happens? What do people say? So people say sukkah because you always ask this question on sukkah. Okay, so usually people say the mikvah. Yeah, and then I have to say, no, it's not a mitzvah. And then I say, living in Eretz Yisrael. Good. So is it true that it's not a mitzvah to go to the mikvah? Is there a mitzvah for a woman after a Shevinikim to go to the mikvah as soon as possible?
There's a brach.
There is a brach.
You're asking if there's a mitzvah to go immediately after or as soon as possible, right?
As soon as possible, yeah.
I want to say yes.
Just because there's a bracha? Is Nitilat Tadayim a mitzvah midaraita? Okay, midaraita. I'm asking if a mitzvah midaraita. Yeah, I mean, shchita, of an animal, is not something that you have to do, but when you do it, then you make a bracha. So there may be an idea of going, is there a mitzvah to go tefillah, what we call tefillah bizmana, to go to the mikvah at the earliest point? Depends if they've done for a room. Okay. Okay. Why?
Well, there are lots of opportunities to break Shabbat by going to the mikvah.
Okay.
So by the fact that we allow it,
okay,
it must be important.
Okay, I get it. I got you.
That's very right.
What? Going to the mikvah? Okay. That's interesting. Push off the bidika. Okay, good point. No, there's something what you're saying. We're going to see there's something to what you're saying. Pointing out that, you know, if there's an idea that right after you finish your Shabbat Nikiyam, you have to go to the mikvah, so maybe if you know that you're not going to be able to go to the mikvah on a certain day, it'll have to be pushed off, then maybe you should wait with your bidikas so that you end on the same day. Okay?
You should push off the seventh.
If for whatever reason you're not going to be able to go to the mikvah, you're not going to be able to. You're on a trip, you're on a tiyul. So either you finish your Shabbat Nikiyam and then wait 2 days till you can go to the mikvah, or you just push off 2 days and start your Shabbat Nikiyam 2 days later. Is there any value to that?
Now we have to review. And so in order to do that, you have to go on the mikvah.
So is that the reason why you should go to the mikvah on time? Because of Puravu? In other words, if Puravu is not a concern, then maybe you don't? Okay, so... Or what if, by the way, what if you can't even be with your husband afterwards? What if it's you're going to end up going, and he's not there, he's not home. And then when he does get home, it's going to be Tisha B'Av, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason to go to the mikvah? You say yes because the way I'm asking him. He says no because the way I'm asking him. All right, another question. What's the best time to take a dip in the mikvah on Friday night? Time on the clock. Okay, meaning, so what time is it? Is it better to do it, let's say for example, is it better to do it before Shkia? Is it better to do it after Shkia? Is it better to do it late at night? Can you not do it before Shkia? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm asking. Does lighting candles help? In other words, does that get you to the new day and then you can go to the mikvah and it's a new day?
That's the point.
All right, so let's see. Oh, wait, let's keep going, actually. More questions? Time is it? 9:30. A woman's sister was getting married in America and she flew to America a few days before her husband. Her mikvah night was the night she landed, but her husband was only landing the day of the wedding. This is confusing because there's two married women here. Again, a woman's sister was getting married. Right. Her mikvah night was the night she landed, but her husband was only landing the day of the wedding. When should she go to the mikvah? Right away or when her husband shows up?
So that thing comes in early.
I'm sorry.
There.
Months ago, let's say, you know.
Fair. I like your thinking. A couple is planning to go on a cruise that departed on the seventh day of her Shabbat Nikiyam. Can the wife go to the mikvah for the morning of her departure?
Right.
In other words, early. What? Yeah, they're going on a cruise. It's the seventh day. Can she go essentially early? But now they're going on a cruise. Actually, I think cruise is a bad example here, but he's saying, what if it's a cruise and they're going to be basically unable to go to the mikvah for 2 weeks? You know why she can't jump in the water? Yeah, I don't know. Assuming that she can. Assuming that's not possible. So for 2 weeks, she's not going to be able to go to the mikvah. 2 weeks, they won't be able to go to the mikvah now. Is there any leniency for her to go early?
Yeah.
Any reason? He has to leave town? Okay, fine. He has to leave town. And let's say we just up the stakes. They don't have a child. They've been trying. And now he's leaving town. Can't she go to the mikvah early? Under any circumstance?
Okay.
Okay? True story. In the summer of 2020, there were Black Lives Matter riots in major cities around the U.S. Curfews were enforced from sunset in New York, L.A., and Chicago. In such a situation, are women allowed to go to the mikveh during the day? If yes, which day? Day 8 or even day 7?
Lockdown. Yeah, COVID lockdown.
Normally women don't go to the mikveh during the day, right? Why do women not go to the mikveh during the day? Is that it? Sneas reasons? So what about going on day 8? Day 8 during the day. Why isn't it open? Okay. I was once an Arab Yom Kippur. I was once at the on Herzog, on Herzl, whatever, and waiting online. This was a line, and this woman comes and she wants to get in. What are you doing? What are you doing? And I was it was like my second year around. I was like, I'm not getting involved in anything. And she's like, I want to go in, and she's getting like belligerent. And what Mistaber, she wanted to go to the mikvah Kwa Yom Kippur, and the women's mikvah was closed. She's like, it's not fair. It's not right. They should open the women's mikvah so I can go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur. Yeah, before Yom Kippur. And we're trying to listen, that's not done. There's a lona hook. I don't know what to tell you. Lona hook. This is the men's mikvah. You can't go to the men's mikvah. And she, I mean, eventually she left, but she was not happy. She was not happy. There is a point, but. No, this happened. True story. A couple lives over an hour walk from the local mikveh. The wife's mikveh night is Friday night. Can she go during the day? And how does she light Shabbos candles? What does she want to do? Oh. Yeah, why is this?
No, maybe it's like she can bring Shabbos in early.
She brings Shabbos in early, right. Goes to the mikveh,
and she'll walk across the mikveh.
What did she do? She lives a while. And then... So during the day.
He drives her there. She brings Shabbos in.
She likes candles. She comes by there.
Okay. All right. We'll see the answer when we get there.
That's
okay. Confusing question, how it's different than the other questions, but we'll see when we get there. There are new elements added. All right. Let's learn a little bit of this. Okay. Source number one, the Gemara. Gemara says in Shabbos, "Ma tamu lomar ba'adava benidata tehei ad shetavo b'mayim." What does that mean? That means once she becomes a nida, she is a nida until she goes to the mikvah. Doesn't matter whether it's 7 days, doesn't matter whether it's 8, or 9, or 10, or 11, or 40, or 70, or 365, or 700 days. Doesn't matter. She remains a nida. Rashi says, "Teini data tumata as tibavaim litbol v'avu bishavu shiva shala u'pasak mayana." It's not like, for example, Shabbos, right? Remember, we were learning Hilchos Shabbos. We talked about Motzei Shabbos and you know the practice of saying Shavuot Tov to the taxi driver so that he can be ma'amdil. And we said ultimately, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, if you remember, he says he doesn't need to be ma'amdil, right? It's not like him driving now is a violation of Shabbos. Shabbos is over; it ends at nightfall. The rabbis added on a gzeirah d'rabbanan, you shouldn't do malacha until you do hasdalah. But there's no, you don't have to bring a chatas for doing malacha on Motzei Shabbos. There's no such thing. It's 24 hours and that's it. So he's saying, neither is not like that. It's not like Shiva Nikim and then your tahor, tahora, it's just that you should go to the mikvah. No, she's too much. She's tmeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just pointing out that it remains, but and how long does it remain? Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph, and Kuftan Zayin. Ein anida v'azava v'yoledet olot mitumatan v'lo tvila sh'afilu achar kama shanim chayav karet habal achat mehen ela imkein tablu karoi v'mikvah aloi. She's anida forever until she goes to the mikvah. This is of course very relevant for single women. That's like the point, right? She gets her first period at 12. She's anida until she gets married the whole time. She doesn't stop being a nida until she goes to the mikvah. And it's going to be karet the whole time. Now, so we don't have a yahir, which is, I think that's somewhat missing. But the Yerushalmi does mention that a woman should go to the mikvah right away. Okay? And even the Bavli in Yuma mentions this concept of tefillah bizmanah mitzvah, which means going to the mikvah when your first moment of being able to go to the mikvah, that is a mitzvah. The question is whether that applies today or not. Source number two. Beit Yosef.
In general with the human problem? Saying is it specifically talking about Nida or in general?
That's a good question.
With the Tuman Tara.
Like a Mitzorah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, something doesn't need to be in a certain.
That's not true. It depends. If the reason for all of this is just for Puravu, for example, then you'd be right. But if it's something deeper than that, if it's no, you should be striving to become Tahor as early as possible. Because otherwise you can't go to the Beit Mikdash, for example, then maybe that's why.
I don't have any plans to go to the Beit Mikdash.
Doesn't matter. You should.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, Uvala Kohen, right?
Yeah.
The Mitzorah needs to go. He should go. The Beit Yosef says, what does he say? He says, look, if the husband's around, then she should go bismana. So he's saying that the whole idea that exists nowadays, obviously from the perspective of Beit HaMikdash, if that was the only issue, we would have no tefillah bismana mitzvah anymore nowadays, because nobody's going to the Beit HaMikdash. It's impossible. But if it's about Puravu, which he says based on Yehoshua, we learn that is about Puravu, because the problem was that Yehoshua prevented some of the men from going to the mikvah from performing Puravu. So then it would still apply nowadays. So the Beit Yosef says that as long as the husband's around, there's an issue of Puravu, and therefore it still applies. This is a machlokes rishonim. It's not recorded here. Rabbeinu Chananel, there is a Ruah, Rishonim that say it applies today, and Rabbeinu Tam and the Mordechai say it doesn't apply anymore. One reason why you would say that it doesn't apply nowadays, even if there is Puravu, is not only do we add the Zava, we also add 5 days. In other words, we've already pushed it off. Midrabanan umiminhag. So it's kind of weird to say that, okay, all of a sudden now you really need to go as fast as possible. We've already pushed it off so much. It's clear. That's that position. But nevertheless, the Beit Yosef says that assuming that the husband's around, they should go as early as possible. But what's he assuming? Obviously, that Puravu is a concern over here. So that's in Sif Bet, by the way. Not just in the Beit Yosef, but also in the Shulchan Aruch. It's recorded also in Sif Bet. Im bala ba'ir mitzvah litbo bizmana. Definitely a mitzvah to go as soon as possible. We'll get to the Ramah in a moment. Who disagrees, though? Not disagrees, but actually takes it a step further, really. In source number three, the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner, says it's not only about Peribiribia. If it was only about Peribiribia, then maybe we'd say, okay, what if they already have a bunch of kids? Or what happens if we know that for a fact that she's sterile or that he's sterile or whatever? So then what would happen then? He says, no. Or if she's pregnant, by the way. Although I know that would be more complicated, but fine. Or whatever. If it's a kena, or if she's not a past menopause. Past menopause is not going to be any peribiribia. The behem lo shayach peribiribia. Elohu chiyu mishum mitzvat. Oh, no. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah of the tricky part over here is that the mitzvah of ona is for the man to please and to pleasure his wife. But nevertheless, it's a kind of a biofeedback system here. They both are involved. Then he says something fascinating. He says, even beyond the deoraita understanding of ona, there's also negiyah, hugging, kissing, holding each other. He says, that is enough of a reason why she should go to the mikvah as soon as possible, and you could even call it tefillah bizmanah mitzvah. The nearer the mishua beda, the bala gan brutas mishma mash. So see that they have to be able to touch each other, and so even for that, there is a reason to go right away. Now, what's the nafkamina? What difference does it make if it's a mitzvah? No, it's just about encouraging women to go as soon as possible. No, it's deeper than that. The Rama says, like Don was saying before, and the biggest nafkamina is mutarat litvol el Shabbat. She can go to the mikvah on Friday night when normally we wouldn't want a person to go swimming on Friday night. Okay, quotes of Rabbi Chanan or Elia or Zarua, everybody. That she nekach bito, even told stories that they used to do it. Im lo yachla litvol kodem lachen. Interesting. It's like shades of Brit Milah. Okay? In other words, he says, if day seven was Friday, then you can go to the mikvah on Friday night. Implying that if day seven was Thursday, you shouldn't be going to the mikvah. You missed it again. Okay? In other words, this idea of Tula Bizmana Mitzvah only applies the night of her mikvah. He says, if it wasn't that, then, v'dafka ba'alav ir, av'ablav hachi asur. If only if the husband's around, but if not, then it would be asur for her to go to the mikvah on a Friday night. Because as we've established, the only reason to be lav is manah mitzvah is for being with her husband, whether it's for conceiving or whether it's for touching. So if he's not there, then there's no to be lav is manah mitzvah. V'imai avshar la litbo kodim lachin kigol shahaya. What happens if she could have gone on day seven? Sorry, she could have gone on Thursday night, but she didn't. And then her husband comes home on Friday afternoon, unexpectedly. So is that a good reason for her to go to the mikvah? He says, no, you can't go then, because it's still not going to be bismana.
Okay, Friday,
you
mean
seven?
Okay, she missed the time. But it's still unpredictable. Yeah, that is something.
Why?
Because there's a mitzvah that night. So now is the time to go. She might be late, but now is the time.
But the point is, it sounds like you need to have both at the same time. In other words, it has to be on the night, and there's a reason to do it because he's there.
You're talking about Friday is the seventh day.
Right.
And so he would go Friday night. Would be
the
eight day. Only in that.
Right. I don't understand why would
the actual person go to the public
for
the night.
What's the problem with going to a mikvah b'chlal? Okay, good question. Okay. Good. Okay, so let's get into that now. So the Mishnah Beitzah says that you cannot togo kelim on Shabbat. You have kelim in your house that needs to be tovel. You can't do it on Shabbat. All right? Why? You are fixing. It's tikkun kli. You're fixing the kli is not usable, and you're making it usable. Okay. So then there's a discussion. Okay, well, what about a person who's tamei, or a woman who's tamei going to a mikvah? So the Rama, where is it? Yeah, the Rama over here, according to the Chumash Hadeshen. That's the Chumash Hadeshen that when the Rama says, Dafka in Bala Ba'ir. The Rama quotes the Chumash Hadeshen, who says that this doesn't apply nowadays, meaning let me take a step back for a second. What about a woman going to the mikvah on Shabbat? So the assumption over there in the Mishnah is that it's okay. Why is it okay? Because I'll say it's okay because it looks like maybe she's just going to wash herself. In other words, she could be going for a different reason. She could be just going to wash herself. So it's not like it's obvious that she's going to fix herself. Okay.
Why do camera people think that? She is going to fix herself.
Because she could be going to do something else.
And yeah, who's going to the mikvah to appear herself?
Well.
Oh, you're saying she can say that she's going to the swim as well.
Yeah. It could be another reason.
It's a job purpose. But yes, a job purpose. That could be.
But also because there's
could be a gala.
It's a good question. I need to look it up and see the exact lashon. It's a good question. I hadn't thought about it so much, but I need to think about that some more. Exactly what that means. Remind me. I have to look that up and understand exactly. Either way, one way or another, basically, the Chumash Hadeshen rejects this nowadays. He says, no, nowadays, everybody knows why we're going to a mikvah. Maybe back in the day, when the mikvah would have been local... whatever, or even not, even like something. I mean, I know that my wife's, my mother's great-great-grandfather or something, I think. He died of pneumonia because he went to the mikvah, non-heated mikvah. I don't know where it was, but that's how he died. He went to the mikvah and then he got pneumonia afterwards. Because, I mean, non-heated, it probably wasn't in a proper mikvah. Probably went to a lake somewhere or something like that. So maybe that's why. In other words, that's what women were doing. They were going to a lake. They weren't going into a cistern mikvah like we have nowadays. But nowadays, that's what we have. So it's absolutely clear what the woman is doing. So the Truma Tadeshin says it's not okay anymore. So the Rama says that if the husband, that's where the Rama is coming from. If the husband is home, then it's okay to go on a Friday night. If the husband is home, then he's willing to be makel if it's that night and the husband is gone, and the husband is home. If she couldn't go beforehand, says those two things. Says if she couldn't go beforehand, and if the husband is home, then the Rama says we can be makel. What? Meaning, what if she couldn't go for another reason? Yeah, it sounds like it. Because that would still be Tfilah Bizmanah, because it's the first time that she can go. Yeah. What do you mean? If it's day eight and she couldn't have gone before because she really was a nusach, she couldn't go before, then it would be okay. If she could have gone before and she just chose not to, then that's what he's saying. It's not going to be okay to go on Friday night. That's the Truma Tadeshin. Truma Tadeshin, that's what the Rama is quoting, by the way. Mashmah Truma Tadeshin. He says, you have to have two things to be able to go on a Friday night. You have to have both that you, that the husband's home, and it's your first opportunity. And what is that getting around? It's getting around the fact that it's clear that the woman is going to the mikvah in order to become tahara. And she's fixing herself, right? As opposed to any malacha issue. It's not a malacha. In other words, the thing that we're concerned with on a Friday night of going to the mikvah could be one of two things. It could be that it's not okay to go to a mikvah specifically on Friday night because it looks like you're fixing yourself. And the other issue could be you shouldn't go swimming on Friday night. That's a separate issue.
Fine, but you know,
that's what the Truma Tadeshin says. She's going to fix herself. She is going to fix herself. She is going to fix herself. She's going to become so around. The Truma Tadeshin would say she should not go on Friday. If he's not home, she should not go on Friday. So the Rama says, the Rama goes on, if we could keep going, the Rama goes on and says, that's what the minhag is in some places, like the Truma Tadeshin. But in a place where they're not machmir for the Truma Tadeshin, you don't have to be machmir. You can go according to the din of the Gemara. The Gemara says that a woman is allowed to go to the mikvah on Friday night because it's not clear what she's doing. Meaning, for her to go on a Motzi Shabbos is also a problem. She starts preparing herself on a Motzi Shabbos. It's clear that she's doing, we don't have to get into that. That's a separate thing. Now, so what does that mean? That means that according to the Rama, he says, if you live in a place that's machmir for the Truma Tadeshin, be machmir for the Truma Tadeshin. If you don't, then you don't have to be machmir for the Truma Tadeshin. And most places do not have this minhag. In other words, everything we've been saying up until now from the Truma Tadeshin, for the most part, you can ignore. I mean, what does it mean? It means that a woman is allowed to go to the mikvah even if her husband's not home or even if she could have gone before. Fine. That's in terms of the mikvah as a mikvah. But there are other issues at play here. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch in Or Chaim, Hilchos Shabbos, Simon Shin Chaf Vav, it talks about heating up water, right? That's what we're talking about over there in Parsha of heating up water. It says you cannot bathe in hot water on Shabbos. So even if we're going to allow and tell a woman to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, the question is what mikvah? Like what kind of mikvah? Most mikvahs nowadays are heated. And if they weren't heated, and it was in the winter, the woman would not be so eager to go. So can we allow that? Is it okay to go to a mikvah with heated water on Shabbos?
You say Shabbos on Shabbos Friday night?
Friday night, yeah.
Okay, you should never see before.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Can you take a hot bath that was prepared on Erev Shabbos? Can you take a hot bath on Friday night?
She's going
to... No, you want to take a hot bath on Friday night. So you heat it up fill the bath on Friday afternoon, and then you dunk yourself in.
You know that you know that big. Assuming you're not sipping out of the big. So it's for a mitzvah.
That's exactly what you're not allowed to do. But okay, so you're saying change things for a mitzvah. But I'm pointing out you cannot go into any hot water on Shabbos. Into heated water on Shabbos. Concerned you're going to come to heat it. So there. You're about it, you can't go into hot water on Shabbos. So the Pitzchei Tshuva and Sif Katan Bet. Where is it? Oh, it's not here, is it? It might be in Shabbos. One second. Lel Shabbos, you're right. Sorry. Lel Shabbos. Ayin Tshuva, I haven't looked at it myself yet. Hold on. Yeah. Ayin Tshuva is Chamdas Tzvi. Shoser l'nashim l'tbo b'lel Shabbat b'chamin. Mishum da'asur l'erchotz kol gufo b'chamin b'shabbat. You're not allowed to bathe your whole body in hot water on Shabbat. So he says they're not allowed to go to a heated mikvah. Seems a simple equation. So you would have to use cold water. That's what that means. He even says later on, Titbona Bitsonem. I'm reading later on. Leil Shabbat, oh Bahafagatsi Natan Bilvad, actually Kraalan Shem Chamim. Could be cold slash lukewarm water on Shabbat. That's what the Pitzchei Tshuva says. The Korban Etanel, which is a commentary on the Rush, he disagrees completely. He says, No, you're allowed to use hot water on Shabbos because it's for the sake of a mitzvah. So disagreement between the Pitzchei Tshuva and the Korban Nisana. So how did it fall out? So the Mishnah Brura in the Shulchan Aruch and Or HaChaim, Sif Katan Zayin over there. You don't have any of this on your sources. He says that it's best to use lukewarm water, but you can use hot water. He is Makel for the Korban Nisana. He says it's best to use lukewarm water, but you can use hot water. Now we can go to the sheets. Source number 4, the oil Sarah. That's from Yoshua Neuberg, again, the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kiyotosah. Umatov imamayim shebemekav yirak poshrim. Poshrim is lukewarm. Velo chamim. Kemo b'shar yimot ha-shavua. Like they are normal. Sharei asur l'rechotz et kol aguf b'shabbat v'yom tov v'yom chamayim chamim. Ulam gam eile shetovlim b'mikvah gam chan b'shabbat v'yom tov yesh tam amin nismoch. But yesh tam amin nismoch. Pretty much like the Mishnah Brura. It should be lukewarm water. But if you can't handle it, then it's okay to use hot water. The Chugas Nar, by the way, says the minhag nowadays is to use hot water. Now, here is a situation where, you know, one of these rare situations where the Sfaradim are more machmir. Source number 5, Rav Avadya. We'll end with this. Im amayim shel mikvah chamim, lechatchila nachon yizayel shetitbol b'min hashmashot, ahinu b'toch 13 dakot b'chatzi le'achar shkiyat hachamah. Rav Avadya says, if the water is hot, then you really should not be bathing in there on Shabbos Daraisa. You should do it, if you're going to do it at all in hot water, you should do it during Bin HaShmashot, specifically the first 13 minutes of Bin HaShmashot. We'll get back to this a little bit later. You should make sure not to come home before Tzeit. Get back to that, why that is later on. She should not be tovel in hot water or poshrim on Shabbat. And even using heat on Shabbat to warm it up a little bit, even not to make it hot, that's also asur. And he says, given that the women are going to want to use hot water, make sure to open the mikvah a little bit earlier than normal. Normally, you might open it only at Tzeit. Make sure that they open it at Bein HaShmashot on Friday afternoon. Before. Because she could, I mean, it's harder for Sfaradim, but she could say, I'm not going to accept it. But either way, the period of Bein HaShmashot, as we've learned before, is less machmir. It could be that she's accepted Shabbat, but still, between Bein HaShmashot, it's still going to be, like, for example, you can do Amir L'Nachwi in many situations during Bein HaShmashot, even if you've already accepted Shabbat. You can still do Amir L'Nachwi. And since this is only Asa Midir Abara, what?
Also, take it out again. But,
take what out?
You fix it to Shabbat.
You can't undo it. Only talk to the Nedim. Oh, with Hatar, maybe. I never heard that before. Tochik they do what you can. If you say, I accept Shabbos. Oh, no, I don't. That will work. But, okay, maybe. I've never heard of that. But it could be.
So it's seven complete days, except on Friday when you can go into the mikvah after.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the details of that next time. But yes, in theory, is saying that you'd go in. Well, here it's not so early. It's after Shkia, right? It's not so early. It's after Shkia. Normally you wouldn't do that, but that's still just after Shkia. Can you go even earlier is the question. Last thing, just the last column. Let's say it's not open. She can't get in there. Bunch of crazy Ashkenazim. She shouldn't push it off until Motzei Shabbos. And we shouldn't be too mitzvah on the period of Yavya. Because bad things could happen. In other words, he says, B'shat etchak we can be mekel, but it's not the language of the Mishnah Brura or the language of the Ol Sara where it says, look, you know, yesh al mi v'smok. Here it's B'shat etchak. It says better, al kopanim titbo b'toch shior gimel mil v'revia, but tismok b'shat etchak, asvarat rabbeinu tam v'siyato v'shafanan. Okay. We don't have to get into that right now. We'll return to this section next time. Shkayach, shkayach. Good job.